Grace to you and peace from the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come, even Jesus Christ, our righteousness. Amen. Authority. It's one of those words that has the capacity to set us just a bit on edge, to make us bristle just a little bit, or become uncomfortable in some way. It's one of those words that may cause us some concern, depending upon, of course, who that authority happens to be. Perhaps we don't particularly care for those who happen to be in authority over us. Nonetheless, they are. Or perhaps we feel that the authority that we think we have is not quite as great as it ought to be and want to try to exercise more authority than we should. Or perhaps, even worse, we think that someone else has usurped authority that in some way rightly belongs to us. And when that happens, it never seems to end very well, most especially if we decide to make an issue out of it, which seems to be exactly what happened in our text. Jesus' authority is questioned. The text is in the midst of Holy Week. Jesus is making his way to the cross, and he is nearly there. He has entered into Jerusalem. He's come into the temple. He's overturned the money changers' tables and driven them from that place. And now he has come back to teach. And the chief priests and the elders are very displeased. And why wouldn't they be displeased? Here is this guy from Nazareth who has come into Jerusalem, made quite a large entrance, entered into the temple, cast out all those who were there making money for them, and all this in the midst of the time when there was a large crowd in Jerusalem gathering for the Passover, their best time for merchandising, the time when they could make the most amount of money. And having cast them out, now he is beginning to teach. Just who did this Jesus think he was? They must have been thinking. And so they challenge him. They ask him, "By what authority do you do these things, and who gave you the authority to do that?" And Jesus has an answer to what is really a rather simple question, but one that is loaded nonetheless. For after all, the implication of the chief priests and the elders is that they were the authorities here, and they certainly had not given Jesus the authority to do what he is doing. But Jesus' answer is a little less direct than perhaps the chief priests would have liked. He answers with a question. John's baptism, where did it come from? Now, in some fairness to the chief priests, Jesus does make it a multiple choice question, for he gives them two choices, from heaven or from man, and he's even nice and gives them the right answer first. All they had to do was say, A, from heaven. And if they answer the question, Jesus furthermore says, I'll answer by what authority I'm doing these things. Now, on the surface, it might appear to be a trap, but it really isn't, because the answer to the question that Jesus poses is exactly the same as the answer to the question that the chief priests have posed to Jesus. If they answer correctly, well, then they have their answer to both. The authority of John's baptism has emanated from the same place, the same source as Jesus' authority. But the chief priests, feel somewhat trapped. They're not quite sure what they're going to do, for see, they begin to weigh their possibilities, and they think, well, if we say from heaven, then we'll be challenged by Jesus. Why didn't you believe it, if you believe it was from heaven? But they had to be concerned about those growing crowds. And if they said, from man, why then the crowds might be in turmoil. So they don't answer the question very well at all. They say, we don't know. And so Jesus doesn't answer them. It's not that he doesn't desire to give an answer. It's not that he wants to be mean. It's not that he wants to ignore them. It's not that he wants to point out their lack of faith. It's just that they've demonstrated their lack of faith in the fact that they won't believe him even if he gives them an answer. For they do not want to hear what he has to say. They don't want his authority in their midst. They have already rejected it. So by what authority is Jesus doing these things? Well, he's doing these things by the very same authority that he will carry out the events of the end of the week. God the Father's authority. For the Father has said to Jesus, go. Go and work in my vineyard, just like in the parable that follows. The Father directs his son to go. But unlike either of the sons, Jesus doesn't first say he'll go and then not go, or say he won't and then go. Jesus just goes, and he does. He carries out the will of his Father. He acts according to his Father's authority. And when he does, he teaches and he casts out demons and the sick are healed. Sight is given to the blind. Sinners are called to repentance and the dead are raised to life. It's this authority that Jesus is acting on as he comes to the temple that day, having cast out the money changers and to bring a word of truth. It's this authority that he will submit to as he allows the events of Good Friday to transpire, as he lays down his life and bears the full burden of the sins of mankind, even the sins of those who deny his authority. Even the sins of those chief priests who are questioning him. And it is the same authority by which he will take up his life again, having vanquished sin, having vanquished death. And it's the same authority by which he will send out his disciples to bring sinners to repentance, to teach them, to bury them in their sin, and to raise them to new life in the forgiveness that Christ has won for them. Jesus answers the chief priest's question. He answers it at the cross. He answers it at the empty tomb. And he answers it a few days later when he stands before his disciples and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And he then sends his disciples to teach and to baptize, to proclaim the forgiveness of sins, the life and the salvation that he has accomplished for the world, to proclaim that sinners ought to repent and receive the gracious gifts that Christ has won by following according to his Father's authority and his own. Just as he called the chief priests to recognize that his authority was from heaven, to repent of their unbelief and receive the gifts that he was there to give them, just as he would give them to us. That's by whose authority Jesus is acting, and that's by whose authority Jesus acts for you. As he calls each of us to repent of our own sinful unbelief, as he calls each of us to repent of our aberrant use of misplaced authority in our lives, as he calls each of us to receive the forgiveness accomplished for us. And then by his grace, having forgiven us, he bids us do the same as he bid his disciples do, to go forth under his authority and proclaim that same good news to the world around us that has first come to us. Authority, rather in our case, true authority. Authority that ought not make us bristle, but rather ought to cause us in awe and thanksgiving to bow our knee with every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Authority that condemns our sin, authority that kills us, but authority that raises us to new life, and not just new life, but eternal life. Authority that died for our sin. Authority that was raised that we too might be raised. Authority that serves. To God be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.